So, first and foremost, just want to say this right out of the gate. This episode is not about who should be starting at quarterback right now at Auburn. Now let's get on with the show. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast and YouTube show. It's your host Alex, better known on the socials as Auburn Memes. And by the title, we're going to dive into a little bit more of a, I guess you could say if this were in writing, this would be more along the lines of a column. Just a little bit of an opinion piece. It's going to be a solo episode today. Regular guest lineups will take place tomorrow, but just want to get something out there because it's been a fairly hot topic of the week. So as the title says, we are going to be defending Robbie Ashford a little bit. But as I alluded to at the very beginning of the show, this is not going to be about a case for why Robbie should be starting for quarterback. This is going to be a little bit bigger than that. And to do this, I want to start at the very beginning here and attack some narratives that have been around him. So the big problem I've been seeing in this whole quarterback debacle on all platforms through tons of conversations is it's almost like there are people who are just actively cheering against Robbie for the betterment or the worse of Auburn. It doesn't matter. I don't know if it's a case of these folks just want to be right. I don't know if it's a case of bullying. I don't know if they have just made something up in their mind or if Robbie Ashford just somehow represents Brian Harsin to them and they just connect that with malice. And because they did not like Harsin, they do not like Robbie. I don't know what the deal is. And I just wanted to spell that right out of the gate. The two are not the same. They are not connected to the hip. They are not similar. I don't think Robbie Ashford was crying when Brian Harsin was let go in the middle of last season. And if we thought as fans that the Brian Harsin experience was bad, let me just assure that as from a player standpoint, immensely and probably unimaginably worse for what those players had to go through from just dealing with all that, the lack of production on the field, and then just the coaching that just did not set them up for any amount of success whatsoever and just having to put your head down and keep up with that. So let's get to the beginning here. Robbie comes out of Hoover High School, a fairly moderately rated recruit. I think it was a composite 4-star. I think 24/7 had him as a 3. And he was Ole Miss, was Lane Kiffin, was the big recruiter for him. And some things ended up changing, and he ended up pivoting to Oregon. Auburn was in it a little bit with him as well. Actually, that would have been when Kenny Dillingham was running the show for Auburn. And the way the dominoes end up falling, he ends up going to Oregon. So 2 years there, didn't end up getting to play, and there were some pretty rough issues between him and Cristobal, maybe some of the other guys there. I don't really want to get into that. That's not really my business to tell. And at this point, it's very irrelevant. But things didn't work out for him in Oregon. Like I said, leave the details out. Time to get a fresh start, and that's the beauty of the transfer portal. And of course, going during COVID probably did not make anything any easier for anybody as well. But transfer portal, it is the chance to start anew. It is the Oregon Trail for college football players. So, enters the portal and comes to Auburn. Now, very similar to him and Calzada, a point of empathy I'll have for both of them is that was when the Austin Davis hire was made. So, everybody was very excited to play for him. And Calzada even came out publicly numerous times and said that Austin Davis was the reason that he came to Auburn. And I would imagine Robbie had a similar situation there, because that Davis would have been around, who would have been recruiting him. Then of course, after they sign their paperwork, they come on campus, that whole situation ends up not happening, and the guys are now stuck with no OC. And they have just made it to campus, just learning their way around, and then there's flying rumors that their coach may be fired in early February, and they are sitting there just, what have we gotten ourselves into? Get past all that, get to the season, and TJ ends up getting the starting nod for quarterback. There's a lot of debate. Obviously, TJ did not come in with a lot of favoritism from the fans due to how he ended the previous season with South Carolina, Alabama, and then, of course, Houston. So there was a lot of, well, Robbie was kind of a future play. A lot of people thought it would be Calzada. Don't need to get into all this there. TJ starts. TJ just could not get over the hump. They do some still different staff, for whatever reason. I think most would say erratic quarterback shifting. And inevitably, TJ just keeps turning the ball over, does not look like he should be an SEC starting quarterback, and lo and behold, ends up taking a shoulder injury. And then by the Missouri game, Robbie Ashford is named the starter. There were a lot of people and a lot of rumors said, well, you know, TJ's not going to be it. Let's go ahead and just toss Robbie in there. Let's just swallow our lumps and just kind of play for the future game here. It might be rough short term, but long term, you know, the potential could be there better than it could be with TJ. So why even waste the time? And that was assuming, you know, if Calzada would be that guy anyway. Because there were a lot of people even who were kind of anti-Calzada, just because, I mean, if you look at his raw A&M numbers, they weren't necessarily fantastic. And I think there was a lot of high riding from that A&M game. Just as a recap of the setting to where we're at here. So getting back to, as we've kind of laid the setting and kind of getting back to where we are now, we know that things did not go well for Robbie from a statistical standpoint and a performance. Some of it was his fault, some of it wasn't, and then there were things outside of his control, such as his injuries. I don't know the exact extent orthopedic term, so I'm not going to say it, you know, what it was, but it was some type of shoulder sprain, tear, whatever, pretty significant, pretty painful, pretty limiting. And from what I understand, TJ's injury was also very similar, or maybe it would have been right at the same, and he sat out. And like I said, it sustained in the Missouri game, so his first start. And then there was something I know that was going on with his thumb, and I think there were a few other little things that were nagging him throughout the season. You saw the way he played, he took a lot of hits, and that was where, well, there's no other choice. So that staff had designed the playbook, the game planning, the reps, everything had been around TJ and what his strengths would have been. And Robbie did not have the luxury of those first team reps. And this is a guy that didn't have playing experience, game experience at Oregon, where Calzada and TJ had previous game experience at A&M and then Auburn and LSU for TJ. So by far the rawest of the guys on the roster. And obviously you have the other guys down there, you know, for the ones who were going to play. I don't think anybody was expecting true freshman Holden to get in there and light the world on fire. Then I guess, you know, you go look at your walk-ons of Sawyer Pate and those guys. And, you know, at that point, that could have been a little rough for everybody if you were looking at the walk-ons to play. And I'm sure there were some people who would have at some points maybe been open to the idea of that. But the point that I want to kind of get at here is, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but hear me out, is Robbie playing last year was almost the worst thing for his position than if he had just sat out for the year. Because I guarantee you, if he had not played at all last year and Peyton Thorne had been playing the way he was doing, I mean, there would be people picketing to have Robbie in the game. But because of what he did last year and the numbers he ended up putting up, being just under 50% passing, 1,600 passing yards, 7-for-7 touchdown interception, not world-beating numbers there. But I do want to kind of give context, because the point of this is to defend Robbie. And this isn't to defend Robbie to say, hey, Robbie should be the starter. It is more of just maybe have people change the narrative some. And I want to defend him because what he did for Auburn last year and what inevitably was a very, very, I mean, it was a low point for everybody. As I mentioned, the fans earlier, and a probably lower point for the players. And then you have to fire a very unprecedented mid-season firing of a coach. Like, Auburn is at an incredible low point for performance, morale, everything. And I'm not trying to paint this out to be Robbie some type of hero for stepping up and saving the day. And it's not that deep, I promise. But I do think there's not enough credit that really goes to him for just saying, hey, I'm injured, I'm beat up. Both quarterbacks have essentially abandoned their post. Calzada said, "Up, I'm going to go ahead and get surgery on this non-throwing arm. I'm not even risking playing behind this O-line. I'm saving myself. I'm saving my career. Davis has gone. Reset button. I'm out." There's arguments if TJ could or couldn't have played or what his situation was. It doesn't necessarily matter for the show here. TJ, he got maybe a set of downs in the Ole Miss game, and then he was out of there. Never touched the field at Auburn again. So then you have a true freshman in Holden. You've got some walk-ons, and then you've got a banged-up Robbie playing with a horrendous offensive game plan with Kisau, who had no business being an offensive coordinator. This is a guy who was came into Auburn a year before as an analyst, got shoved into being a wide receivers coach, which was fine, probably the max of the position he should be, minus the fact that as a wide receiver position coach, you're supposed to recruit. But I digress. No one on that staff was any good at recruiting. And then now offensive coordinator in less than a year. Because your offensive coordinator you got lasted maybe a month, month and a half. A whole bunch of just bad luck gone to worse. And here's a guy who just says, okay, going to just take it in stride, and then we're going to go. And played out the rest of the season. And then when Cadillac and Will Friend and Ike Hilliard came in there and slapped together a semblance of maybe a halfway capable offense with the tools they had, and it was halfway capable. It was better than what had been going on. It was playing to the strengths of the few strengths that team had offensively, what Robbie had with his injury, and then was leaning away from his arm and the lack of mobility he had in it. And there, I mean, the pass attempts he had against Brian Harsin's last game, Arkansas, 33 attempts was his max. And then at Georgia and LSU, he had thrown for 38 in each of those. Not really what his strength was, injury or not, at the time. And Cadillac drops that down to 22, 13, 19, and then 23. Completion percentage still was not great those games. It was better at Arkansas, 72, or just under, really about 73% if you round up. And then leading more into the running game, not only with Robbie, but the running backs and everybody else here. So with that being said, would it have been better for him not to play? Not only through the pain and the injury, but just the morale because of what he had to do and what he got called to do. He had a very bad taste in his mouth from just Auburn as a whole. I shouldn't say Auburn as a whole. There was a faction of folks, of fans, who I'm just going to say just flat out don't like him. And there have been a lot of narratives, and I'm not saying that these hold any weight, and I'm not even going to specifics of what they were, but they were basically just painting him out to be this guy that really I saw no proof that there was any merit to think that was even real. It really just seemed that they were folks who just wanted him to fail almost. They just didn't like him, didn't want to see him on the team, would make jokes about him transferring, whatever, whatever. And I personally don't get where the basis from this even comes from. And even to this day, I shouldn't be started just rejoicing at the idea of Thorne. And I don't think anybody thought it was a bad idea to bring in a quarterback. And Robbie himself, in a very point of leadership and maturity, said, you know, iron sharpens iron. And he even admitted, you know, there's times where you got to grow up in leadership. And the version of this year and last year is he's a better version of himself. He said this. And that's exactly what you expect from a player who's growing and maturing year over year. Like, that's everybody gets that. No one at 20, 21 years old is the maturest version of themselves. That's pretty well known. That is what the sport is supposed to do. That is what college does. And that's what these coaches are supposed to do for these guys, is lead them and have them grow up to be the better versions of themselves. I think a lot of this streamed from Robbie's a very emotional guy. He plays with his heart, which is a good thing. Let me reiterate, that's a good thing. We love that. The whole emotion of, you know, we love Auburn, folks love people, love Auburn. This is a guy who loves Auburn. Like, he's not here. This was not a business trip for him. Like, the passion, you can see it. Like, that is there. loves the school. In a similar essence to Cody Burns, if you want to look at that, he did not click it at running at quarterback and ended up changing positions. And Cody Burns is remembered very positively at Auburn. And to me, I just don't get why there's this shroud of negativity for some about Robbie, because when I've seen him after games, he's over there, kids are running up to him, wanting autographs, he's smiling, taking pictures, high-fiving, representing the university in a very positive light. He's not out there partying, he's not out there tweeting ridiculous things on Twitter or social media, wherever. Holds a good image of himself. And that would be kind of, one of those rumors I can't get into that's under affairs, but just people who are excited of the idea of, oh, is he going to change positions or da-da-da-da-da. Like, he's made it clear, like, I'm here to play quarterback. That's what I'm going to do. And like I said, this isn't a deal of, oh, he should be, here's 20 reasons why he should start over Peyton Thorne in this and another. But it's just getting to the idea of why the malice toward him? Why actively cheer against him? Because if you're actively cheering against him, in essence, you'd be cheering against Auburn, because when he's come in, he's got, now I believe he's got 7 touchdowns for the season altogether. So he's contributing positively for the game. Scored against LSU. Scored against Georgia. I mean, it's not like he's just getting these against cupcake teams in the very, very few amount of times that he's played. And my thing on him, or the quarterback or not, and this shouldn't be, and this is where it's so divisive, and this is where I'm going to say, this is where I need to be. And I'm going to get accused. I was very outspoken about Thorne a few weeks ago of just, and had nothing to do with him personally. Just had to do with what was on the field. It had to do with the numbers. And it has to do with the narrative should never be this guy or that guy. The narrative should always be the best guy plays. But also, I do think the best, or every guy should have a fair chance, whether it be at practice or on the game, and there's got to be a line for what that is. And we could debate that all day long. That's not what this episode's about. And this would just be to those who were saying things, and I'm not going to repeat what they were, because just that's not a good practice for this show, but just saying things that were discouraging to him, discouraging to Auburn, that really had no place, and they're starting to age fairly poorly with recent developments. I don't see what it solves, and I don't know why I cheer against a guy, and I just want to kind of go off the bat here and say, like, this is a dude who really, really got served a horrendous dish last year and just took it with stride and really helped Auburn get through a tough season that not many quarterbacks could have come in there and really turned that around. Because the thing is, look at the narrative here with the receivers. Well, last year's bunch, you had John Samuel Shanker in there. You had Tank, and they led in receptions last year, or toward the top, I should say. Johnson did, and he's beat up. And if you're going to say that the receivers are the issue for Thorne this year, then I think you've really, really got to look back at last year and say, okay, well, then Robbie should get that same benefit of the doubt. Now, I'm not saying we get some other receivers in there last year. He's tossing for 65%+. Not getting there. I'm not trying to get into hypotheticals. I'm just saying that a lot of people blamed him specifically, and that's just the nature of the quarterback. You get all the glory, you get all the blame. There's really no in between. And that is part of it. The numbers don't lie. They were what they were. But there were some extra considerations with those. And I hate to kind of phrase it this way, but somebody had to do it. He did it. He's here. He's making the most of when he's getting in there. And I hope the staff does what they need to do for the right guy. But I would just encourage everybody, as I close this episode out, to not be so brash with their takes, negative or positive, toward anybody else other than just kind of what's happening on the field. I mean, this is a new year. I think everybody gets a clean slate. And yes, I mean, you do look at last year's performance, but I think you got to look at some context, because look at Joe Burrow from 2018 to 2019. We'll narrow it down to Auburn, because I think people are going to comment, well, Robbie saying Robbie Ashford's Joe Burrow. Look at Chris Todd from 08 to 09. Maybe that's a little bit better of an example. Auburn guy who transferred in, a guy who transferred in who kind of had some question marks around him, who was competing for a job for somebody else. at Auburn and kind of had a little bit of back and forth with it. Also, somebody who was playing through a shoulder injury in 08 of Chris Todd. Gets healthy in 09, ends up winning the starting job, and ends up lighting it up. Now, it's not going to be a perfect comparable, but there's just some things here for where context can repeat itself historically to kind of give people some ideas of saying, hey, maybe we just need to see the situation for the different variables that could play into it. So that is where I think I want to leave it off. I wanted to say my piece on that. Wanted to just let everybody know how I kind of felt about that. Just wanted to tack some of the messages I'd seen out there. And I hope that everybody kind of folds or you know, kind of puts their arms down about being right or wrong about something and more just cheers for the best guy. Rather that be a Peyton turnaround, Robbie gets the starting job, or maybe they just do this double quarterback thing for the rest of the season. Who knows? But I'm going to say this. It's tough on all the guys. And unless a guy just really represents Auburn in a very poor light, man, support them through thick and thin. They're out there giving their all for us. And you know, at least we can do is just give a little back to them and just give them some love and cheer for them while they got our uniforms on. That's all we got. Thanks for listening to this a little bit shorter solo episode, little commentary episode. Make sure to check out auburndaily.com, see what's going on there. Check out the socials. And of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Auburn Memes. Got any thought on this episode, the subject matter? Shoot me a DM. Let's talk about it. Meantime, we'll be back tomorrow for another show guest. I'll let you guys tune in to see who will be joining and what the topics will be. Hope to see you then. And you guys, I want to thank y'all for listening. Have a good day.